take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. I'm going to tell you the title of this morning's sermon, and then we'll get to it here in just a minute. I call it A Talking Bush. A Talking Bush. Exodus chapter number 3. And once you find Exodus chapter 3, find verse number 1, and then if you would stand with me, we're going to stand out of respect to the Word of God. Exodus chapter 3, find verse number 1. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, that, so you know, is not Jethro Bodine. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. If you noticed, that bush spoke to Moses, or God spoke to Moses through that bush. I want to talk to you about the thought, a talking bush. And let's pray. Father, I ask that we would accomplish something that would be lasting today. May church not be a form of entertainment, but might we receive a spiritual education. Not only that, may it transform our lives. Reach down from heaven, do something lasting and supernatural. Lord, limit the interruptions. I pray that you would increase our attention, and may we do our part in that. Now, Holy Spirit, help me. I certainly would like to deliver the truth the right way. And then help all of us as we listen. Might we want to do that the right way? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A talking bush. My mind got to running once I put a title to this sermon. And I got to thinking about some of the trees or bushes that I can remember where they talked or they had personality. You're going to think I'm terrible, but I thought immediately of the trees and the Wizard of Oz. Any of you remember the trees and they could walk and they throw their own apples and they talked? And so I thought about the trees and the Wizard of Oz. Has anybody here ever been to the restaurant called the Rainforest Cafe? They have trees in there that are animated and talk. There's the honey tree in Winnie the Pooh. It's a special tree. The Keebler cookie tree. You would think it talks, but actually there are elves in there making cookies, and I do believe in that. I don't believe in Santa, but I do believe in the Keebler elves. There's the Whomping Willow in Harry Potter. There's Treebeard of the Lord of the Rings. There's Grandma Willow from Pocahontas. And then I'm reminded of the talking tree in the Get Smart, Maxwell Smart show. Y'all know. Well, you sit out there like act like you don't know about any of this. Yeah, Jim Phillips got a dumb look on his face. Better be careful. It's going to stay there. I know it is. But in the Bible, there's a story about a tree, a bush that actually talks. Let me tell you the story, if I could. Moses was attending to his father-in-law's flocks on the backside of the desert. He leads the flocks to Mount Horeb, and Moses looked, and he saw a bush, and the bush was on fire. In the bush was the angel of the Lord. The bush was burning, but it was not being consumed, which is a miracle in itself. Moses said, I will now turn aside and look at this great sight. And it wasn't just looking, because in a moment it was going to be not just hearing, not just seeing this bush that was not consumed, but in a moment he's going to hear this bush talk. And so he turns aside and he looks. Moses reasoned within himself. He said, this is truly a miracle. There is that bush. It is on fire, but it's not being consumed. It's not turning into ashes. And when God recognized the fact that Moses had given his attention to the bush, then God takes it up even another level, and the bush talks to Moses. You say, wow, Pastor, it would have been something to have been present there that day. What would have you done, Pastor, if it were you? I'd be running for the woods, man. If a tree were burning and wouldn't be consumed, and then the thing started talking to me, I'm out of here. That I'd be a chicken. I wouldn't have been a good Old Testament prophet. I would have freaked out. I would have said, this is not normal. But Moses turns aside, and the bush is on fire, and it's not consumed, but it begins to talk. The bush calls out Moses' name twice. If you were listening to the scripture, it said, Moses. Moses, you say, why twice? I think the first time the bush talked, Moses went into shock. The second time, God was trying to bring him back into reality because the bush was talking. Then Moses answers the bush. You say, what did he say? Well, the bush said, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here am I. You say, what does that mean? That means Moses was here. I'm not thinking he was going real deep into his mind to say something. He was just trying to get something to come out. Moses, Moses, I'm here. And I'm sure God said, I know, I'm having a conversation with you. But the bush actually talked to Moses. And then the bush, God speaking through the bush, said, don't come any closer. And again, I'd say, God, you don't have to worry. I am not getting any closer. But he used the words, draw not nigh hither. And then God says through the bush to Moses, take your shoes off. He said, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. You say, why? I don't know. Maybe Moses needed a foot bath. I'm not sure. But there's a conversation now that is going on between Moses and this bush, and it is God communicating through the bush to Moses. Now, I didn't take the time to read all the scripture to you, but it goes on and on and on. And there is a lengthy conversation that is conducted in that passage of scripture in Exodus chapter 3 between Moses and that bush. I think you'll see that that bush says to Moses this. It says, for thy place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And I think what God was saying, he said, I've got something special to say to you. And what's happening here, it's holy. So this conversation, God was trying to make a difference in Moses' life. And God was trying to get Moses' attention. And so Moses obeys. Later on in the chapter, God changes the life of Moses forever and then ends up using him to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. So I want you all to understand, and I realize some of that doesn't make sense to all of you if you don't know that historical part of the Bible, but let me put it to you this way. At this point in Moses' life, he's not being used of God in a great way. He meets this talking bush. There's a conversation that goes on. Whatever is exchanged between God and Moses, Moses decides he's going to obey what God wants in the conversation. And God says, Moses, I am going to help you to rise up and lead millions of people. You are going to become the mighty Moses of the Bible. Because to this point, he's not. What happened? He talked to a tree. Talk to a tree. How would you like to be used of God? Maybe if you and I could figure out what it is, what was that verbal exchange? What did God say through the tree to Moses? If you would like to be more than a casual Christian, and today, if you would like to be used of God, and so you all know, God did not put you on the face of this earth for you. God put you on the face of this earth for God. And you need to find out what that is, and you need to do whatever that is that God wants from you, just like me. You know, most people would say, Pastor, you're a man of God, and you're a preacher. You better make sure you do what God wants you to do. Can I tell you something? It is as important for you to do what God wants you to do as it is for me to do what God wants me to do. God is no respecter of persons. God has a will for your life. God has a will for my life. Moses was casually walking, if you will, in that area, attending to the flocks. He was just doing his daily task. All of a sudden, the bush comes on the scene. Moses looks over. The bush begins to talk to Moses. Moses responds to the bush. Many verses later, God said, now, Moses,
I'm going to use you in a supernatural way to do my will. And most of you have heard the name Moses, and you've heard at least of some of the spectacular events accomplished by this man. Well, maybe if we could figure out what was being said, maybe we could learn what Moses learned that catapulted him to this new level of success in his Christian life. Let me show you what I mean. What could we learn from that talking tree? Let me say number one, the talking bush was teaching us about being on fire for God. The talking bush was teaching us about being on fire for God. Exodus 3:2, it says, "And behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, this is the talking bush, but wait a minute. This was not just a talking bush. The bush was on fire for God. Could I ask you a question, Christian? Are you on fire for God? Or is your Christianity just a casual thing? And you don't mind, mentioning Jesus a little bit here and there, and acting like a Christian a little bit here and there. But getting on fire for God? You mean you want me to get excited about the things of God? Let me tell you something. That bush was on fire for God. God compares His Word to a fire in Jeremiah 23:29. God compares the Holy Spirit of God to a fire in Luke 3:16. God compares Himself to fire in Hebrews 12:29. You say, well, I'm not one that gets excited much about anything. Can I tell you, everybody here gets excited about something. There's somebody here that gets excited about Dunkin' Donuts. Because you choose to get excited about it. Hey, let's face it. There's somebody here. You say, well, I'm getting excited for God. There are people in this room that you get excited when you're playing your video games. I mean, you're pumped. You're wired. You're just like this while you're playing them. Because you've chosen to get excited about it. Everybody here gets excited about something. But you choose what you get excited about. Did you know something? You could choose to get excited about the things of God. You could choose to get excited about the Bible. You could choose to get excited about people getting saved. You could choose to get excited about church. But you get excited about something. Somebody here gets excited at Super Bowl time. But why not God? Somebody here gets excited about the Olympics. But why not get excited about God? Let me tell you, there are all sorts of people that I know that get excited about making money. Wow, if I can make money, if I can get this contract, if I can pull in a few more bucks, boy, that excites me. I'll get up early. I'll stay up late. I'll pay the price. I'll do whatever it takes to make more money. When was the last time you put that kind of energy into anything for God? People get excited about what they want to get excited about. People get excited about Disney World. Why not about God? I'll never forget this. Every once in a while in my preaching, my personality and a little intensity pops out and shocks people. But I just finished preaching a sermon and I'd said something about it and said, every once in a while you ought to just say amen and not sit there like a bump on a log, like you're bored stiff at church. After church, I seen a fella, very dignified businessman, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I just don't get excited like that. I said, okay. Funny thing. That week, we were at a basketball game. His son was playing in the basketball game. I was sitting right behind him and his wife as his son was on the court. I watched his boy steal a ball, cherry picking, drive right up the court, put the ball in the hoop right at the end of the game, and I watched Mr. Dignified Businessman stand up, and he said, yeah, boy, atta boy, atta boy, atta boy. I tapped him on the shoulder and said, I see you just don't get excited. You used to get excited when you went to the rock and roll concert half drunk out of your mind. You used to get excited When it comes to chasing the women or chasing men, you used to get excited. What's wrong with using that energy for the cause of Jesus Christ? What's wrong with coming up with a little bit of that energy and using it for something eternal? Let me tell you something. The talking bush was talking about being on fire for God. No wonder Moses turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ and will go down in biblical history as a powerhouse. I got a feeling Moses got a touch of what fire's all about. Not only that, the talking bush was teaching us about not blending in this world. Not blending in this world. Notice it said in Exodus 3:3, it says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great thing. Oh, this bush, it was different. No doubt about it. There's a reason why Moses looked over at that bush. It was different. That bush is on fire, but it's not consumed. The bush talks. Now, folks, when was the last time you seen a fiery bush that talked? If you seen one, you'd say, that's different. You know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that Christians are peculiar people. Now, that does not mean weird. Now, in a couple of your cases, it does mean weird. But what I mean is the word peculiar in the Bible does not mean weird. Talking about there is a uniqueness about people that love God and they're going to be perceived a little different. I'm sure there are guests here today that say, well, obviously then, Pastor, you are a peculiar person. But the truth is, Moses said, I'm going to look at that thing. The talking bush stood out. It did not necessarily blend in. And I think you Christians, you just need to understand something and accept it. And by the way, it is not a slap in your face. Christians are different. You're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different. Good Christians, you're going to have a hard time at certain points in life blending in. You know, when I was working in the factories as a young Christian and the guys would go to tell dirty jokes, I did not blend in. I walked away. I didn't want to hear it. There were times when I was in high school and my buddies wanted to fire up a joint and smoke it. I walked away and I said, I'm not interested in that. I did not blend in at that moment. Why? I was to be different. And you are to be different. And let me tell you something. That day Moses was in the backside of the desert and he seen a bush that could be on fire but not be consumed and talk. And he said, that's different. Let me tell you where all the churches are going today. Everybody wants their churches to blend into the world. The Church of Jesus Christ never has been like the world, nor is it to be like the world. When you come to our church, you're going to find out we're still having church. It's the old time religion, not apologizing for it. Listen, people can tell you and I there's something about Christians that ought to be recognizable. There ought to be something different about our attitude. There ought to be something different about our spirit. There ought to be something different about our honesty. There ought to be something different about our morality and our dress and our faithfulness and our joy and our victory. We ought to be different. I walked into a business the other day. I was minding my own business. I was there for just a couple of minutes, and the lady behind the counter, she said, sir, could I be of a help to you? I said, yes, ma'am, I have a question. She said, I'll bet you're a Christian. And I said, nope, I'm an atheist. She said, you are not. I said, you got me. I'm not. She said, I'll bet you're a pastor. I said, what makes you say that? She said, I don't know. She said, but you're different than the other people come in here. Let me tell you. And you say, oh, I wouldn't like that. Why? Why would you not like it if somebody thought you were a Christian? Why would you not like it if somebody assumed you were on the positive side of life and morality? Listen. I believe that Moses got a dose of learning that Christians don't always blend in. Now, folks, I think this. We're not to be different in an attempt to draw attention to ourselves. There's some people that say, well, I want to be different so everybody looks at me. I'm very sorry. That's not why Christians are different. We're different because God commands that we live a certain way. And in this world, we're just going to stick out some. And it's really not ever about drawing attention to you. And it's always about drawing attention to Jesus Christ. And it's always about drawing attention to right and morality and godliness and decency. But the talking bush was teaching us to be on fire for God. The talking bush was teaching us that there's sometimes that we're just not going to blend in. Someone said this, and I think they meant it to startle me. They'd come to our church to visit. I went to visit them. I said, I'm so glad you came to our church. They said, you're different. And my wife tells me that all the time. They said, you're different. I said, I don't mind that. I don't mind that. Now, if it is different because you say that we're not like everybody else out there, we're not trying to be like everybody else out there. We're just trying to be like the Bible. That's all. But let me tell you this. Number three, the talking bush was teaching us about changing someone's life for the better. Changing someone's life for the better. Let me read to you. Exodus 3:4 says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, speaking of Moses, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now let me explain. Moses said, here am I. By the way, Moses, after this meeting with this bush, would never be the same man. Never. Moses met with the bush, and as a result, Moses' life was changed for the better and forever. You know, I've got a feeling that God would like for me and you to behave like this talking bush. Wouldn't it be nice if you and I would want to help change the lives around us and for the better? I mean, think about it. Moses has a bush talk to him. As a result of that conversation, Moses is never an unproductive, uninterested Christian again. That bush was changing the people with whom it made contact. Folks, let me explain. Did you know you're not just to be a Christian in this world? You and I, we're to be trying to help better this world. We're not to just live in it. We're to try to make it better. That's why we have a spring program. We have a spring program because we want to try to help people, reach people. We want to try to influence more people. Moses had his life changed. Let me tell you something, Christians. Why don't we decide that we would like to help people to change their lives for the better? Let me explain to you something about my preaching. I was called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I know a lot of young people that feel like God may have called them to preach, but I've been doing it now since I was 16. I took it very, very seriously. You know what I did? I watched a couple of preachers, and I watched some preaching, and I watched some people preach, and I'll be honest with you, I was bored stiff. I watched some people preach, and I thought, I don't know why they just said what they said. And then I heard a couple people preach, and when they preached, I wanted to pay attention. And when they preached, I could tell they were trying to make a difference. When they preached, I thought, they mean this, and this is very, very important to them, and they're trying to help better people. And I said, that's the one that I want. I want to be a part of something that makes our world better. I want to be a part of something that helps to change the lives of people. I want to be that kind of preacher. Now, I may not be very good at it, but I will tell you this. What I'm doing right now, I'm not just here for the fun of it. I'm just trying to get a sermon over with so we can all go have lunch. I really do believe that God could reach down into this auditorium today and get a hold of somebody's heart, and somebody could leave here with the fire of God in their soul. I believe somebody in this auditorium could very possibly decide, I'm tired of blending with the world. If God wants me to change to be a Christian, I will change. I really do believe that God could use one sermon and revolutionize somebody's life to where they don't go back out to the mess that they're creating in life, and they decide they're going to have their life change forever because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm totally convinced of that. And if I didn't believe that could happen right here in this auditorium today, I would close my Bible, I would go home, and I'd never preach again. But I think God is in the life-changing business. I think God can revolutionize people's lives and pull them out of messes and change them. And God could use them. And so, that bush was telling us about life-changing. Because Moses' life was changed forever. Hey, bus worker, keep your eye on what you're there for. We're changing lives. Hey, Sunday school teacher, some of you that are boring to listen to, so what should I do? You ought to start teaching that lesson with the intent of helping to change lives, not just to give out some material. I have a principal setting over here. Every principal alive would like to have some teachers that would teach to change lives, not just to give out material. Let's get the responsibility off my plate for the day. Good night. I remember some teachers that changed my life. They were passionate. They believed what they were teaching. They believed I had to have it. They believed I needed it to succeed. Hey, and those were the ones I wanted to learn from. Listen, hey, musician, you don't get up here to sing so we can look at you. You ought to sing every song that you sing, and every instrument played in this building ought to be played for the intent of glorifying Almighty God and helping us to change the lives of people that God loves. Every youth worker, you're not in the youth department because you want to play, because you need friendship. You're there to help change the lives of young people. That's why you're there. And so the talking bush, it was teaching us about changing lives. It did. Changed Moses' life, and in turn, he changed the lives of millions. We're still talking about him today. Hey, let me tell you this. Number four, the talking bush was there, and that talking bush was teaching us to speak up for God. Now, it's obvious. It's the name of the sermon, the talking bush. In Exodus 3:4, it says, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. That talking bush is teaching us to speak up for Jesus Christ. There's some of you, you need to speak up for Jesus Christ at work. There's some of you, you ought to speak up and tell others about Jesus Christ. You need to learn to tell people how to be born again. You need to speak up about church. Don't be ashamed. This bush spoke up. Now, you say, preacher, I'm not real good with words. I'm not really sure that this bush had any speech classes or anything. Now, God is speaking to Moses through the bush, but the bush is teaching us there's a time when we need to speak up. Don't ever be ashamed of being a Christian. You don't have to be ashamed. Speak up. And you know, look, I don't think people ought to use God's name in vain, but when they do, I definitely retract myself. And I heard a guy, he was using the name Jesus Christ as a cuss word. You know what I told him? I said, Jesus is not worthy of the way you're treating him. Pick somebody else's name for your cuss word. Why Jesus Christ? And God's last name doesn't start with a D. Speak up. The talking bush was teaching us about speaking up. Not only that, the talking bush was teaching us about not becoming consumed by the heat. And some of you need this, and you need to listen to me real carefully. The talking bush was teaching us not to be consumed by the heat. As you know, it says, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. It was not consumed. That bush was going through the fire, but the fire was not destroying the bush. In other words, the bush held up under the heat. And in every section of this great congregation of people today, I look into that section, and there are people, you're facing heartaches, and you're facing burdens, and you're facing trials, and you're facing the conflicts of life. Let me tell you something. You do not have to crumble under the pressure. And you do not have to be destroyed by that hardship. I don't believe God brought it to you to break you. I think God brought it to you to make you. You do not have to crumble under the heat. You do not have to give in to those things that would like to destroy you. Let me tell you something. You and God make a majority. You can have victory. You can make it through it. You can see yourself through this. You say, but Pastor, what I'm carrying right now, it is so heavy. It's overwhelming. Let me tell you something. You get God on your side, and anything you face, you can face it, and with dignity, and with success, and with victory. Hey, I love this bush because the bush was under the fire, but it was not consumed. And I think God was teaching you and I that we can face the heat of life, but yet we do not have to be consumed. Are you going through the fire? It does not have to destroy you. You do not have to crumple under the weight of it. Some people say, oh, what is God doing to me? You got the wrong attitude. What is God doing for you? My God's a good God. God loves you, and God is your friend. If you're going through a tough time, I've got a feeling God has a reason that you don't even understand. But God's not trying to destroy you. I think God sometimes is purifying us and making us stronger. I'll tell you, I feel bad for people that have had everything handed to them. They've never worked for anything because they're usually weak people. Strong people, they dig it out of the rock. They figure out a way to survive. Hey, young generation, you better listen to me. This young generation is going to destroy America because they've not paid the price that our forefathers paid to give us this free nation. They've not worked hard. They've not sweat and toiled. They've not seen mom and dad or uncle and grandpa die on the field of battle to give us a freedom that we experience. Young people, you'll do better by looking back at the roots of America to figure out what made our country great. I'm not against improvements in America, but I'll just say it because it doesn't bother me. I don't think this is a socialist nation. I don't think God ever intended it to be. Listen, the talking bush, it taught us to hold up under the heat. Let me give you a couple more just very quick thoughts and we'll be done. But let me tell you this. I think the talking bush was also talking to us about being humble and willing to be used. Humble and be willing to be used. It said there, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame out of fire in the midst of a bush. You know, this is just a humble, ordinary, unassuming, everyday bush. It wasn't a towering mountain. Wasn't a flaming star. This is just a bush. Hey, God used a plain, ordinary, unassuming bush. I looked at it. Those simple words are used 5 times in 3 verses. A bush, the bush, the bush, the bush, the bush. It wasn't a mighty oak or a red tree. It's just a bush. It's unlikely that God would use a humble bush for such a great miracle, but why? I'll tell you why. God used that little humble bush because it was willing. It was humble. And guess what else? God would get the glory. I think God looked down and there might have been a lot of other elements that were available, but maybe they would have been full of pride. And God looked down and seen a little bush and God said, Bush, I'm going to use you to turn Moses around. And the little bush probably went, Me? Me? God said, yeah, I'd like to use you, Bush. Let me tell you something, Christian. You say, preacher, I'm not much. I'm not a blue blood. I don't have a great upbringing. Some of you young people, you say, you know, preacher, I don't have a whole lot to offer God. Let me tell you something. You keep a humble attitude. And you just make yourself willing. Yes.
I think God looked down at that humble little bush and said, I'm going to use you. Little bush, you're going to be remembered forever. Little bush, if you'll just submit yourself to me. And I wonder if the bush said, I don't have a great education. I'm not a whole lot to look at. Some seed fell from a tree and ended up in the ground here. And I just sprouted up and I began to grow. And I really don't know a whole lot. And God said, boy, if you're willing to be used, God said, I can use you, little bush. And the bush said, well, sir, okay. Stay humble, Christian. Let me tell you something. God doesn't need you, but God wants you, and He wants to use you. Did you know that God uses nobodies? Think of the lad who gave Jesus the 5 loaves and the two fish. And he fed 5,000 people from a little boy's lunch. Say, what's the big deal about that? You try to get a lunch away from a little boy. I was walking down the hallway of the nursery the other day and somebody had given one of our kids a lollipop or a sucker. I was walking by and he had that sucker. I said, hey! He turned around and looked at me. I said, could I have a lick? He said, no. That's just a lollipop. Somebody got the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, but I'm going to tell you something. That story's been told over and over again. It was just a humble boy that was being willing to be used of God. I think of the widow and her 2 mites. We don't even know her name, but she goes down in history as a great giver. God used the humble jawbone of a donkey to help Samson slay 1,000 Philistines. God's not looking for people who are big in His eyes. He's looking for people that are little in their own eyes. And God can use you. You say, I don't have much to offer. You just have to have a willing heart and a desire to obey God. That bush encourages me. If God can use a bush, maybe God could use me. I'm finished. Let me make one more application. The talking bush was teaching us the importance of purity. In Exodus 3:2, it says, out of the midst of a bush, God called unto him. In verse 4, out of the midst of that bush. What came out of that bush? God. Do you know what comes out of man? What is inside man? Listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. The reason sometimes we say nasty things is because we've allowed nasty things inside us. But you know what came out of that bush? God. Because the bush was filled with God. Can I recommend to everybody here that we get ourselves filled with the things of God? Get your life filled with the things of God. Get your life filled with the Word of God. Get your life filled with the Spirit of God. Get your life filled with good Christian behavior. Because what will come out of you is what is in you. In other words, let's think holy. Let's act holy. Let's dress holy. Let's make sure our friendships are holy. Psalm 19:14 says, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's be careful what comes out of our mouth. Let's make sure it's not hateful and vengeful and worldly and evil and critical and lustful and disloyal. Hey, that talking bush, I think this was a separated bush. It was separated in its behavior. It was separated. It was different. I just read the story about this bush, and I thought, that bush talked to Moses. And as a result of that conversation, Moses rose up and became the powerhouse Old Testament leader. You understand, Moses was responsible for the first 5 books of the Old Testament called the Pentateuch. You understand, probably, now in my opinion, the greatest leader in the Old Testament was Moses. And other than Jesus Christ, I think the greatest leader in the New Testament was Paul. But Moses, God used him to pen far more words in the Old Testament than he used Paul to pen in the New Testament. What changed him? What happened to this Moses guy? He's walking through life taking care of the flocks. And a bush talked to him. And if you've listened to what I told you today, I think somehow I told you a few of the things that must have transpired. You see, on that day, the bush said, you need to get on fire for God. The bush said, accept it. Christians don't always blend in. The bush said, we need to do some life changing. The bush said, you got to speak up even if it's hard for you. The bush said, don't be consumed by the heat of life. Keep serving God in the midst of the battle. The bush said, stay humble. If God can use a bush, God can use you. And the bush teaches us that what comes out of us is what is in us. Let's make sure that we put the right things in us so we're usable by the great God of the universe. I call the sermon, The Talking Bush.